Welcome to Elevate with V, a nurturing and collaborative community with a mission of empowering you to overcome challenges and to live your most extraordinary life. I'm your host, V, and through my own healing and transformational journey, I've encountered a wide variety of healers who have all in their own way shared one universal message, that every storm has a silver lining. Join me in each episode as I engage in meaningful conversations to empower us to transform our darkness into purposeful light. On this podcast, we elevate. So let us journey together and be lifted up to our greatest potential. Hello, everyone. Before you jump into listening to this episode, I wanted to offer a trigger warning. This is a very compelling and raw story and also contains some swear words. Thank you.
This is so cool. I love that you're doing a podcast. Oh my God, this is so amazing.
Thank you. Well, welcome everyone to Elevate with V. So excited to be here with you. This podcast was inspired by my own healing journey. I aspire to share amazing healers and coaches to help us each elevate on our journey so we can keep aligning with our soul's calling and gifts. I can't wait to introduce my guest today, Jolene, also known as a psychic energy mama. We connected through mutual connections on Instagram almost a year ago, and I just love your energy, your enthusiasm, your authenticity. You always keep it real, and I feel your genuine desire to offer guidance to people. It's been incredible to watch your growth and expansion, and I can't wait to not only learn more about your journey, but to share that with my audience. And your official, very humble bio, but we'll get into it, is she's a psychic medium, energy healer and teacher, and inner child healer and soul guide. Trust and believe there's so much more to this, and we were going to get into it. And also, all of her information will be in the bio section when this gets released, so you will all be able to find her. So Jolene, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Again, I'm so proud of you two on your journey. I think it's so important for us to all share our truths and share our journey and speak, you know, speak realness, speak authenticity into life, you know, because like, you know, social media and YouTube and the media in general has been so, you know, convoluted with just false messages, you know, we're all behind, you know, this image of what it should be or what we think life should look like. And it goes so deep into everything. I mean, you know what I mean? Plastic surgery, just fake filters, everything's just fake, right? So it's really refreshing.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. And that's all the more reason why I think it's so important for those of us that are out there and stepping out to really share authentically, which is another reason why I'm so excited to have you today, because I was sharing before we all came on the recording that, you know, Jolene is just so passionate about like sharing so many things. But one of the biggest things for me is just how authentic and how she keeps it real and just really shares all of herself. And so today, we're going to get into our journey a little bit. So as you know, the show is highlighting healing journeys and how each one of us has navigated through all these different storms to get to our silver linings. So I would love to hear from you, Jolene, like what kind of kicked you into your healing journey?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, this is such a big question. I mean, I think it's all things. I think it was self-realization that I no longer wanted to not be connected to myself, that I no longer wanted to be scared of just being who I was and really just, you know, letting go of the fear of that, letting go of the fear of myself, of getting to know myself more. And, you know, I realized too in my journey that I've always, you know, growing up with a lot of trauma, which I'll talk about, I was always so scared, you know, I was always so scared to be. And to, you know, it made me conform into a people pleaser, really, because I was scared to show those sensitive sides. I was scared to cry. I was scared to express, you know, the parts of myself that weren't, I thought, you know, quote unquote, accepted or would be lovable. Because, you know, and generationally, you can understand this, our parents, you know, I'm an 80s baby, but my people that took care of me, my grandparents, I'll get into that story, but you know, they had so much trauma and they weren't, you know, they weren't educated on emotional intelligence and how to like love a child and how to, you know what I mean, give you what you needed. And I think a lot of us have ran away essentially from our truth. We ran away from ourselves and we've thought, you know, the answers are in the outside world. And I think a lot of us now are realizing like, oh shit, like, no, it's actually within us. We've had it the whole time. But that's really what I was like running down a, you know, a fast track, my journey of like the spiritual awakening and then realizing all the shit, the work that I've had to do. And I'm still doing like to this day and will continue to do until I die is like, is really just, you know, realizing I was going down the fast lane for nothing, for no one. I was running away from the God that was within me and the, you know, from God itself, whatever your belief system is, you know, whoever is hearing this, you know. And it made me realize like, holy shit, I've always been a healer. I've always been healing since I was born, like literally, and I will be doing this until I transition to the next realm, you know? So yeah, it's been really intense. I mean, and you know, I share about my journey. It started young, like my, you know, lots of trauma. I'm really working through like a lot of these people that are listening, generational trauma, because no matter what you've been through, essentially, even if your childhood was great, you remember great memories, we've all been programmed. We've all been conditioned to some way, shape or form to step away from ourselves. And if you add trauma on top of that, which a lot of us have had, most of us, I'm going to say the majority of us have been traumatized in any way, shape and form. And when you add that part of the package to corrupt system, it's really made us forget what we are, the power that we have, you know? And, you know, for me, it was right away. I mean, I had so much loss, and I know you know this because I've shared this story on my Instagram, but, you know, my dad was murdered in Manhattan when I was a little baby. You know, I had my mom who had me at 18, my biological mother had me at 18, but she was bipolar. She was very much emotionally abusive, physically abusive and neglectful. To the point where, you know, after he died, because he got murdered, he was murdered in Manhattan by a 16-year-old gang member, I believe. That's what it said in the newspaper anyway, that I read when I was older. But he died, you know, tragically, and she was already not in a great mental state. She was young, plus she had all the trauma that she had. I think she went through a lot of sexual abuse as well. She went through physical abuse, like really a lot. My line goes deep, you know what I mean? On the mom side, like the mother wound is deep on my side, because I think my biological grandmother was actually like a drug addict. She was in, I think she actually died in prison, which is so sad, from like a, and this is the stories I've heard, cause I didn't obviously get to meet them, but it sounds right. Even psychically tapping in, you know, she died of a drug overdose, and I'm hearing even heroin, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. She died of a heroin overdose, and you know, I experienced from my mother of her experiences, what she passed down to me of being, you know, memories, you know, as a little girl of being locked in the closet, you know, having really fucked up, you know, for lack of a better word, really is what it was, fucked up experiences, you know, as a kid. And, you know, it came to the point, you know, where I it's just so interesting. Like I always remember spirit, you know, from the psychic medium point, like almost like around me. It's so weird, like thinking now, even going back into this memory of just feeling like there was always an energy around me, if that makes sense. And, but not knowing that, cause I was a baby, like I'm literally right now, like going into the timeline of it as I'm seeing it, you know, as I'm sharing this with you guys, but you know, having this presence, having this energy around me, and maybe it protected me, because I really feel as I'm looking back now, speaking about it, I'm like, damn, I was literally alone, you know, from 0 to 3 with my mom who wasn't there. Like, I feel like she was always having like men in and out. It was just it was horrible. Men in and out, sexually, whatever she was doing. And I was like literally just taking care of myself as a little child. And then what happened eventually is my grandparents, who again, it was her father who took me in, her biological father, who also had a lot of sexual abuse, physical abuse with him. And they passed it down to me again. So I went from one household, got out of that situation, went into another household, which was a little bit better, and I'm grateful, because who knows, right? But it was the same thing almost. It was like I escaped one thing and went to another. And in that journey, it was a lot of emotional abuse, because again, it's all connected, right? A lot of emotional neglect. And I was essentially like raising myself. And what I did to cope was eat, you know, and I literally just ate my feelings away because it wasn't safe, you know, it wasn't safe to feel. You know, we got yelled at for everything. And, you know, it was a little girl having these gifts and not knowing what the hell they were, because no one was there to talk. Both my parents work and my grandparents both worked. And I was home a lot with my sister, who technically was my aunt, but I developed like this, you know, deep relationship with her. And she had a lot of issues herself. It's just really sad. So she had been, I think, raped by someone, and she was in the military, and she was way older than I was. I was 8 when she died. So I'm going to tell you that story, but she actually died by suicide. And I was the one that was like most with her. Like, she was like my caretaker, and she was only 21. So she was young when she died too. But I remember having this relationship with her where I was like, again, this healer. I was always like stepped into this role where I would remember, because she was dealing with drug addiction and stuff. And my parents, you know, grandparents didn't know, weren't aware, you know, because they were just kind of in their own world. Again, you can imagine unhealed people raising, you know, it's like kids raising kids, essentially. That's what I felt like. You know, they weren't there. They just weren't there. And I was home with her a lot. And she would like come to me with like hallucinations and like all this crazy shit where I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like I was literally coaching her. Like I coach now. It's so interesting. Like through, you know, it's a little bit different, obviously. I'm not coaching someone that's on drugs now, but you know what I mean? I'm like, but I was like literally calming her down, you know, of what she was seeing and feeling, and almost like validating. It's so interesting. Even looking back, like validating what she was seeing. Like I knew it wasn't fucking real, but even at 7 or 8 years old, I knew that I had to like tell her that I saw what she saw, if that makes sense. Like I had to like comfort her in some way, shape or form. And that like calmed her down, you know, that like calmed her down. So I don't know. It was just really, really traumatic. I mean, she would say some shit that would make me literally get sick. Like I would get sick out of fear of what she was saying, because I was still a child, you know, trying to help someone else. And, you know, we got really close, and it's emotional because she was very much like, I want to say the first person who really saw me as well, or I felt that way, because, going through, you know, being abused by biological mother and then going into a family that wasn't there or stable, me and her connected. And I feel, even psychically knowing this, that this was a soulmate connection. You know, we have many soulmates, right? Like we have lover soulmates, we have friend soulmates, and she was a part of me. And the first person that I really felt cared about me, I'm going to say, because I remember, and I'm, mind you, I'm a little girl, but I still remember this. Like I'm a little girl at this point. And maybe this is my inner child coming out, because I'm a little girl, like I'm a little girl right now, you know, going back into this memory. But she would take a lot of time like coloring with me, and you know, we'd be dancing and singing, and those are things that I still love to do. You know, if you guys see me on Instagram, I'm dancing and just being who I am anyway, but that's who she was as well. And you know, she, it's like when you ask like who is the first person that you lost that you loved, and it was her, you know, it was really her. And I think there's so many components of why her death was so, you know, tragic and also so important in my healing journey, is because, you know, she lives on within me. And, you know, I've had a lot of experiences where I've lost other people that mirrored her, which also mirrored me, because ultimately we are all connected. But it was a reminder of, you know, I don't know, in some way, shape or form, like the love that I have, and even these experiences, even if they were so short, right? Like I only had her for 3 to 8, you know, or 4 to 8, 4 years of my life. And, but it was such a, you know, a important role in develop, you know, in me developing, traumatizing me as well, because she did eventually take her own life, you know, from, you know, shooting herself. And, I think it's interesting when you say, like, why did you become a healer? I think at first it was me trying to help my sister in some way, you know, like help, you know, continue to help somebody that I could never help, you know, in some way, you know what I mean? But giving back to like the collective and seeing people that were struggling, because I know my sister, even just psychically, she wasn't heard. She wasn't seen. She wasn't felt. She wasn't nurtured the way she needed to be. And it was just that time. Like, she died in 1994. And you guys know, like, early 90s, like, this shit wasn't talked about. Mental health wasn't talked about. And, you know, the resources weren't available. But I remember, you know, she went to a halfway house for her addictions. And then she came out. And, you know, the last memory I have of her is literally me and my grandmother, who raised me, you know, she was combing my hair. I used to have really long hair as a little girl too, which is interesting now as my healing journey. I've had long hair again, because I'm going, it's all a cycle. It's all connected. But my hair was very short for many years. After she died, it actually really, a lot of it fell out, and I ended up cutting up all my hair, and it didn't grow back. This is really, it's just a side note, how symbolic, but also connected everything is. My hair didn't really start growing back until I started actively healing. And it's like it's very beautiful and very connected. But, you know, the last memory I have of my sister alive was her in my room, or in her room. And she was combing my hair and just saying how much she loved me. And I knew it felt weird, because I was like, why is she like, because she would go through such dark moments. I think she was like, they said she was bipolar, she was manic. I mean, there was so much going on, you know. I think she also has spiritual gifts, but again, you know, different time. And so, you know, and I remember seeing her wave at me outside the window and as we drove away. And then the next thing I, you know, remember, obviously, I had a whole day out there with, you know, we went to this picnic, and my grandmother all of a sudden was like, we got to go. So it's that mother's intuition, because that's her blood daughter. It was her blood daughter. And technically, she's my aunt, my sister. When I say my aunt, my sister's technically my aunt, but raised by grandparents, you know, called their daughter my sister. You get it, you know. We come back, and it's so amazing, though. It's so traumatic, but so amazing, spirit, because I remember very significantly, and I was seeing spirit at this time. Mind you, I just didn't really know what it was until after she died. Okay, if that makes sense. Like, I was seeing stuff all the time, but it was just kind of like, oh, there's an eyeball. Like, there's something over in the corner. Like, I see a shadow. Like, I just saw it all the time, and I didn't talk to anybody about it, because it just, there was so much going on in the house. I was kind of always quiet. Whether you believe it or not, I actually was quiet, like back in the day, you know? I never talked about it. But anyway, when we came back from that picnic, I came in the house and I had this Frisbee, and I'm 8 years old, you know, just picture an 8 year old, a chunky little 8 year old, happy as can be, wanting to show her sister, her best friend, essentially, you know, this Frisbee that I won or something at this picnic thing. Right. And because I ran up the stairs to get up the house, to get into the house, to her room, was where she died, where she was dead. And I passed her room. So like, doesn't make any sense. Like, I literally passed her room and went down into my room, put the Frisbee down, and then walked past again. So it's like, almost, I feel, you know, looking back, is that her spirit was like, go, don't come in here. Cause I think when I look back, I was supposed to stay over that house. I wasn't supposed to come back. So, you know what I mean? So she didn't want me almost like finding her, is, you know, kind of what I feel. You know what I mean? You know, psychically too, but even remembering the memory. But so then obviously I came back and I saw her, and it was traumatic. It was so traumatic. It would really, you know, first because of her mental state, and it sounds really fucked up, but it's true. Like, she would play like a lot of like, she played dead a lot. And I know it's traumatizing for any kid, but, and I'm like, at first I thought she was literally acting. Like, I was like, because it's, you're traumatized, you're like, wait, what the fuck, you know? And then I realized that she really was dead when I saw the gun on the floor. And I got my grandmother, and she told me to get help. And that was, I mean, that memory, obviously, I mean, you couldn't, when you talk about the healing journey, you could literally do years and years of counseling. I'm here now, a 37 year old woman, you know, but talking about it, no matter how much healing you do, and if you're, you know, feeling your feelings, you're going to cry about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fucking fucked up, you know? Like, I mean, like, Really? So please also, I say this because please also understand there's a stigma of like, you know, when you heal through something, you don't like feel it anymore. And that's a bunch of bullshit. Like you will always feel because you're fucking a human and you have emotions. Unless you're a robot, you know what I mean? Like, and that doesn't mean you're not healing from it. It's a process, you know? But I always say like emotions and grief isn't linear. I mean, it literally just shows how much you love somebody. And it could literally be 30 years, you know, of you losing a person and it still brings up that memory. So that's like the big, you know, the big, I think, thing that comes up for me as far as my healing, because knowing that she wasn't hurt and she wasn't, you know, I mean, I did the best I could, obviously, but I was fucking 8 years old, right? So, but like, she didn't get the, you know, the chance that she deserved or needed, I'm going to say, because everything's on time and there's always a reason behind it. But, you know, it's always, that's what I think really led me to it. And plus me struggling, you know, throughout that time of going through that. And then I was also sexually abused, like literally that time. I mean, that eight, like my zero to like 11 or 12 was just fucked. I'm going to be honest, like that, it really was. It was just back to back shit that was happening to me as a little girl. And I was sexually abused at the same time. Possibly she was too. And I don't know, we never shared that information, but by a relative. So my grandmother's brother, and he was sexually abusing me for about, you know, from 7, 8 till maybe 11 or 12. And then I finally did come out and say something when I was 14. And this man did go to jail for like a measly 2 fucking years, which is bullshit, but you know what I mean? The system's fucked. We all know that, right? So yeah, I mean, you know, it was a lot of that, a lot of not having any support going through that, you know, grandparents, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Once my sister died, we literally shut her door, right? And then it was like, all right, nothing happened. We're just, you know, nothing's going on. It just, no one talked about anything. I remember being like legit traumatized, like shaking in the fucking room and just trying to process for many, many, many years, trying to process and then not processing because I didn't have the support, right? I didn't have any guidance. I didn't have anybody saying like, hey, are you okay? And like, no, I'm not, you know what I mean? No, I'm not fucking okay. Like I was not okay. So what I did instead with my support, like my counseling was food, was running away, like from any emotions. I was so scared for so long to feel anything to the point where I would literally, I remember my like eating disorder started when I was like about in high school. I have always had it. I was heavier growing up. I was like 200 pounds heavier than I am now. You know what I mean? Heavier. I was 200 pounds young. I was young. And I just ate because I was just eating. Anytime I had any kind of feeling, I would just eat it down, stuff it down, numb it down. And that's what started with me. Then as I got older, I became bulimic in like high school. And nobody knew because again, what I did, my coping mechanism was avoiding. So like in high school, I turned into like this class clown. I'm like, I like to make people laugh in general, you know, and it's just part of my, I guess, coping, mechanism that is healthy, you know what I mean? But, you know, everything was balanced. Like I wasn't facing anything, you know, I was making everything a joke. And I ran away through drugs, alcohol, everything for years and years and years and years. And I ran away from myself, essentially. So it came back to me, you know, having almost like this spiritual awakening, you know, when I was in college, I mean, I was like 27 or 28. I was out of college, really. I was working and I was doing promotions in upstate New York because I'm from New York in general. And, you know, doing promotions again, everyone on the outside always thought, oh, she's so happy. Like no one knew. And even if they knew, you know, I guess what happened, like what I went through, you would never be able to tell because I hit it. I hit it very well. I was like a fucking, what's it called? I don't know, chameleon or whatever. I hit it and I would just use humor and just, you know, blah, you know what I mean? And I was doing promotions in New York and I was like dating some like douchebag, some douchebag guy who, you know, didn't really care about me. And I was just in this cycle. And this is when I started having dreams about God. And I'm not religious even now to this day, but I wasn't religious then either. I was partying a lot. Again, that same, I was like burning the candle at both ends. I mean, I was taking the Adderall. I do have ADHD, but I was abusing, let's be honest. I was abusing the Adderall, staying up all the time, you know, I was going to school full time. I was working full time. I was partying full time. I was literally doing it all. Like you said, now you're like, how do I do it all? I'm still that person. You know what I mean? I'm not obviously abusing anything that I know of, right? Unless it's like spirituality. Maybe that's my addiction now, right? But like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, maybe it is. Like, I'm just like posting all these videos. Who knows? But like, I would just, you know, I was just doing all the things and I knew there was like a mission that I had to do, which was completely ego-based of like, you know, I had to get the, you know, the degree to be loved. I had to get the whatever, you know, I had to look a certain way. Again, lots of focus on my appearance, you know, eating. I still had that thing with eating for a long time. I got to be skinny or whatever. Just all this fucking stupid, not stupid, you know what I mean? You know, completely programmed belief that all of us have been through, specifically as women. It's just so fucked for us and men too. Okay. We're, you know, both of us, but this is, you know what I mean? I'm talking about my perspective here, but it is for literally both. And I remember having the first dream, and I might've shared this on Instagram too, was like having this dream of me literally in this like Coliseum. There's a few dreams here, but I'll share this one. That I see myself in this Coliseum with all these people and they're singing and there's angels. And I wasn't even into any of this stuff. Always knew that I saw spirit, avoided it, by the way. I avoided my gifts for so long, ran away from them. That was part of the, you know, part of the healing. And also ran away with them from them. Side note, because I didn't even talk about this because I forgot. But when my sister died by suicide, I was legit, and I know I've talked to you about this, but I was legit haunted for years. It wasn't just the trauma. It wasn't the PTSD. This was legit dark entities. I don't know what to describe them as, but lower vibrational, dark human, or not human. They weren't human. I'm going to say demonic. I'm going to say that's the best word, because when I look at from spiritual standpoint, they're nothing that I would deal with now. These were very low vibrational beings, not even human. They weren't human. And they would mimic my sister. They would actually come into her form and like, I mean, black eyes, the shit you see on horror movies, like I talk about this in some of my stories on Instagram, the shit you see on horror movies, but like real, like I was seeing this stuff. And it was where I was getting like squeezed and scratched at night. I had that, you know, a lot of us in the, when you, and you probably know about this, but sleep hypnosis, when you can't move, what's that called again? When you know what I'm talking about,
paralysis?
Right? Yes. The sleep paralysis. The sleep paralysis for, you know, I was having that every night, like that pressure on the body and can't move, can't get up. But I was also getting squeezed and scratched. I mean, shit that you like see on movies, like really. I mean, the grumbling, the growling, the scratching on the wall, the alarm clocks going off at 3 a.m., like all this stuff for years from after she passed until about 18. We lived in that house, by the way, which was traumatizing in itself until I graduated high school. So we're like constant reminders of going past her doorway and like, dude, the stuff that I saw and felt, and like, I would see shadows going back and forth from her room. Her door would be shaking, like, you know, like the door, not, you know what I mean? Like the fucking Amity Hill horror, you know, like legit. And I'm in my house by myself, dude. Like no one was there. I was just chilling. Like, girl, I raised myself. I feel like I was literally like, I raised myself like a wolf. I ate everything and I'm just dealing with like these demons just passing by and it was just normal, but it was traumatizing. So that was kind of how I self-soothed. Like my nervous system was fucked, right? I was in trauma response all day trying to avoid seeing whatever was floating around, growling, you know? So a lot of my healing was, I was lucky at that time. I had lots of friends because I was funny. People did like to be around me. You know what I mean? And I, you know, I enjoyed being around people too. Always had that, you know, joy of people. And my escape was really getting the fuck out of the house and going to my friend's house. And my parents, they didn't care. They're like, fuck, she's out of here. Like maybe they cared, but they didn't know how to show it. So I basically just did what I wanted. I'm going to say like growing up, if that makes sense. Like, and, yeah, flash forward, you know, to the spiritual awakening. It was like this, I had those dreams of being in the Coliseum. There's all these angels around me. I'm reading scriptures. I'm singing scriptures. And then I like wake up in the dream in my apartment that I was in at that time, but I was still dreaming. So I'm in the, from the dream that I had at that point, I'm in my apartment in the dream, still dreaming. And this man comes up and he says, I'm going to give you this, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I breathe in my own breath. And it was just this random a man. He didn't look like Jesus. He didn't have anything. Yeshua, whatever you want to call him. He was just this normal dude. He's like, listen, I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay. And I breathe in like the biggest breath I've ever taken in my entire life in this dream. And the Holy Spirit was in me, like, quote unquote, in me, in my dream, if that makes sense. And I wake up. This is so wild. Literally, I feel like you're going to think I made this up, but I've said this before and I'll say it again about this, how crazy this experience was. I wake up in real life now. This is real. And I'm getting ready because it was like promotion day. I had to do a promotion. Like, I was a liquor promo girl, you know, with the Speca and all that shit, you know, I was a liquor promo girl. And I was getting ready, you know, getting dolled up. And it was that time. Remember when the crosses were in style, like those big crosses, like the like long chain necklaces, maybe not cross, but like those long chain necklaces, you'd wear them. Do you remember that? I don't know, like, how old you are.
I didn't grow up here, Jolene. So
oh,
no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Well, in here, it was like, I don't know. There was like this, it was what, 2012, 2011, if anyone can resonate. You know, it's like, it was like these necklaces, whatever. I was drawn to crosses. I had this cross with me. I'm getting ready in the, you know, bathroom, my little bathroom. I lived in like this little shit den. It was just whatever, you know? And I heard, this is wild. All right. So I'm getting ready. This is real life, not a dream. And I hear in my head, God. That was like my first clairaudient, I'm going to say, or maybe not my first, but the first that I remembered in a long time, because I pushed away all those gifts, right? And I heard God, and I actually saw it in my brain spelled G-O-D, all right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's weird. Like, am I hungover? Like, what's going on, you know? And, I, at the same time, I had those like, you know, those breaker phones, like, oh, maybe you don't, I don't know, but they're those, the phones like you buy for the prepaid phones. I had one of those prepaid phones because I would go out every weekend and I'd get absolutely wasted and I lose my phones. So I just kept buying fucking one of those phones. And I hear a bling, you know, it was like whatever that Nokia sound, like, you know, and I hear a thing. I'm like, who's this? I look at my phone and I swear to God. I look at the phone and says, God is all knowing. God knows everything about the kingdom of the Lord. Something like that. Okay. God is all knowing. He knows all of the kingdom of the Lord. And the number, don't know it. It's a number that wasn't saved, but again, it's a breaker phone. But again, no, you know what I mean? It wasn't saved. I saved them as they go, if that makes sense. Because I just keep the phones, you know, until I lost it. But and I said, who's this? No response. And I'm like, okay. And then I said, I don't know what I said. And then that was it. No response. I don't think, maybe they said sorry, or I don't know what it was. They said sorry or something eventually. And I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird. I'm rushing to get to this promotion. Now I'm like, this is weird. Heard God, heard that thing, makes no sense. Still rushing like per usual. And I'm still like that, procrastinate last minute. And I'm getting gas. I'm like speeding down the highway now, because this was in, the promotions were in Saratoga, New York. And I was in Albany at that time, Albany, New York. And I am speeding down the highway, literally on the fast lane, right? On the fast lane, going fast, not doing my makeup as I'm going. I have this cross that I'm going to wear for my outfit after the promotions, because I'm going to go out. Obviously, I'm going to go out and party after the promotions. And I like, just weirdly, like just intuitively grabbed this cross. At the same time that I grabbed this cross, I kid you not, my tires, which I had just changed, all four of them went flat. All of them went flat. All of them at the same time. And like my glasses broke. I mean, it was like something hit me, but nothing hit me. I'd had no physical, my car just kind of like fast lane, everything blew. There was smoke everywhere, but nothing hit me, but my glasses split in half. And luckily it was just weird that there was a cop behind me, and he didn't give me a ticket either, which was cool. But luckily there was somebody behind me. And at the same time that my glasses broke, the tires popped, I saw smoke everywhere, I had the cross, I hear, you're going down the fast lane to nowhere. You're going nowhere. Stop. And that was this moment of like, holy fuck, like, wait, what? And I knew I had to, because I'm in Pennsylvania now, that's where I live now. I had to go back and try to mend these relationships that I essentially ran away from. Because after I graduated at 18, I was out of that fucking house. It's like, peace. I don't even know you guys. I'm out. I'm going to go fucking wild and just you know, terrorize the world. You know what I mean? I was just trying to like escape. That was my mission, right? And then it brought me full circle of like, wow, like this is the end of this escapism. Like, this is the end. So I went back to New York, or not back to New York. I ended up, fast forward, you know, I worked at a hospital back in Albany then, in Albany, New York. And I quit and I was like, I got to go back out. My grandmother at that time was sick. I was like, I got to go take care of them. I got to go just connect again, whatever that was. I knew I had to go back. And it was then when I went back and left New York that I got reacquainted with my biological mother. I had like some closure there because I figured like there was always a part of me like wondering, what if, did she know, did she do this? And I was validated. She knew everything she was doing to me. She was the same person that she always was. And that's okay. It just needed that closure. But I also got to communicate with my half brother, who after I finally got like in touch with him, not seeing him my whole life, he ended up killing himself. He actually did end up killing himself too, which is horrible. But I at least got to connect with him, and I ended up going to his funeral. And that was the first time I ever met him, which was unfortunately like him in the casket, which was again, horrible. You know, in spirit, I know that when I even connect with him, he needed to go. He was in so much pain. And that's the thing, side note, I want to tell everyone here, as a psychic medium, because I know I'm talking like 1,000 miles an hour, but as a psychic medium, I just want to make this very clear. Not that no one should kill themselves, first and foremost. No one do this. Please seek the help that you need. There are people that care about you that really want to help you. And, you know, I'm not obviously a therapist, but I help people as much as I can. Not that suicidal part, because that's not my specialty, but you know what I mean? Just being seen and heard and felt. But when people die by suicide, they think, and I think this is a lot of that religious program, is that, you know, they go to hell, and they don't. They really, truly don't. So if you've lost someone by suicide, please know that even after we end our time here, we go to this space of healing. There's healing that happens even after we leave this physical plane to teach us what we need to know to progress along our journey. And that's really what happens with, you know, people that die by suicide. They really do go for more healing. That's all they needed. They really just needed to, you know what I mean, to heal, to be seen, to be nurtured. And that's even with people that die traumatically. It's like they go into this kind of cocoon of like, wait, what happened? Like if they had an accidental overdose or a car accident. But I mean, you know, there were so many events that happened. And I look back, I'm like, how the fuck? Like I had this friend too, my best friend in college. I did the whole sorority thing. Again, it was UAlbany. I was like, I want to party. Like that was my thing. I just want to party. I just want to escape everything and like just have a good time. And I'm still kind of like that. Like I really do just want to have a good time. But like, you know, you got to work through your shit. It's about balance. That's what I've learned in my healing journey. You know, but, and it's hard to feel those feelings, side note, it really is. Even to this day for me working through it, I have to really make the time and space for anyone that's going through this. You really have to set the time. If you struggle with connecting to your emotions, to do it, even that, if that means like putting on a sad movie or, you know, making yourself cry by watching dogs or puppies, sad movie, like whatever your thing is, humans or puppies, you know, like watch something that will invoke that and hold that sacred space for yourself. But, I forgot what the point of me even saying that was. I do know what it was. So I had a best friend that I met in Albany where I went to college. And when I first met her, again, I was like, oh my gosh, she reminds me of my sister. Like same haircut, like big brown eyes, same outgoing behavior, like real, like didn't give a shit what anyone else thought about them. Again, a mirror of myself, like the same kind of personality that I was scared to be, I guess, because I was so scared growing up. I was so fucking scared to be myself. And because I was always told by my parents, grandparents, you're bad, you're wrong, you're this, you're stupid, you know, like the stuff that you hear being abused, you know? So I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, subconsciously as kids, we take that in, we think that's true. So, but I had this friend, you know, who was just so herself. And you know, I was just wild. I just, at that point when I was in college, I was just wild. I didn't give a fuck because I really wasn't there physically. You know, I just didn't care. I was always partying. I was this, I was just, you know, whatever, acting out, I guess. And she reminded me of my sister. I remember telling her that. And we had such a, you know, beautiful friendship. But at that point I was really, we actually ended ways or parted ways and then reconnected because I was going through, at that point, I was dealing with cocaine abuse. I was doing cocaine. It was a big party drug when I was, you know, I'm 37. I was 20, 1920, you know, it was a big party drug, still is, but you know, at the, where I was in school, and it wasn't helping my depression. Obviously I was going through the alcohol wasn't helping the depression. The drugs weren't helping the depression. She was trying to tell me that. And I was just like, you know, you don't care about me. You know, it was all like in me. It was just like, you know what I mean? All in my pain and just, you know, running away. And I went out to Pennsylvania to run away again from her telling me the truth. And she ended up dying. She ended up dying in a car accident. She wasn't the driver, but she was in the passenger seat of the driver was drunk, so was she. And she went down, the driver went down the wrong way of the highway in Albany, and they got hit head on by three trucks. And I mean, that really broke me. That really, really broke me for a long time. And, you know, being like, why? And that's what I think a lot of people in this community, they're like, why the fuck does this keep happening to me? Like, what did I do wrong? And it showed me, you know, even going back into these memories that I have, I'm like, shit, it literally saved my life. All of these events somehow saved my life. It woke me up, if that makes sense. No one deserves what you go through. No matter what trauma you experience, you don't deserve it. But you have to live with the perspective of, I have to face it. I have to heal it. There's something that I'm supposed to learn about this, about myself, about the collective, about the power that I have. Like, that's the whole point of why we're here. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's really kind of my journey in a nutshell. I think I talked the whole time. Hi. So, yeah, hi. I'm sorry. This is like a one-man interview. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. No, thank you. I mean, everything was, you know, just sharing your journey. I mean, truly, like, someone listening is going to be like, this can't be real. Like, it's not possible that someone could go through all of these things, but it's really remarkable. And thank you for just being so, like you said, even before we got on this podcast, you're like, I might even cry. I'm like, yes, please cry, because we need to normalize that it's okay. And, you know, one of the biggest things that was coming up for me, Jolene, is this fact that people can look at you and they go to your channels and all this stuff. You're always yourself, but, you know, they see you as this very, like, strong, dynamic person. And you are, but you are also still healing. You are not saying, oh, I've got it all figured out. I'm perfect. Everything's done. Like, look in the process of this interview, like, things are resurfacing and it's okay. Yeah. Like, that's part of the journey. And it's good for us to feel that, tells us we're alive. We're like doing our work, you know, and you spent so much of your life suppressing all of this because it was so painful. Like you said, you're constantly running away because you didn't even have the tools. You didn't even know how to cope. Right. So it's just building. And, you know, like you said, until you got to this point, right? And I think you said something around like 27, 28, where you're like, okay, I'm literally getting the messages. Okay, I get it. I need to actually stop what I'm doing and start to make some shifts and changes in my life. And, you know, you said, okay, then you started working in a hospital. You weren't living that crazy life that you did before, like, you know, being around liquor and like all these drugs and all these other circumstances that probably kept you, and you chose that, right? And then spirit is coming in strong as like, nah, I gotta shift this. I gotta get her out of this thing, you know? So very powerful. So kind of like coming back to like when you said, you know, you started to like shift into what you're doing for your career. So how did you even start to do your healing work? Like, what did you do? Did you seek any outside help? Or was it like how you said, like, you had all this information, it was just now for you to sit and allow it to come forward to help you heal? Share with us what that was like.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you so much. And yes, thank you. As I'm wiping my boogies everywhere, because yes, it brings up so much. You're so right. Like, for real, just know the resurfacing and feeling. And even now you're having this interview, I'm like, oh shit, I've been holding, not that I've been holding this in, but you know, we hold other things in. So when we talk about anything that's emotional, I'm like, damn, I'm having these messages from my spirit team. Like, girl, you need to, you know, take more time to cry. Like, I'm telling you guys, right? Like, they're like, you got to do this. See, this is good for you. So thank you for this interview. Seriously. But what this looked like for me is, so I always, and I was the one, cause my grandparents weren't like about medicine or counseling, nothing. And I remember being like, I need to go to a counselor. I need to talk about this. Like, something's wrong. Like, I'm not okay. And they, you know, they kind of belittled me a little bit about it. And I eventually kind of went for a little bit, not long enough, because again, there wasn't consistency there, but I started with counseling. That's kind of what I started with, you know, not normal, but I'm going to say mainstream counseling, right? Trauma counseling, here and there. It wasn't very consistent, but, I got a lot of tools from it. Like, so when I say it wasn't like years and years consistently, I would be kind of on and off and on and off, you know, and that's, again, that was where my journey was supposed to be. So remember, that's okay too, for people that are going in, they dip their toe into counseling. Maybe it's not for them. It's too much. They got to go back. Cause again, if you have a lot of trauma or whatever you're going through, sometimes it's just hard to, when you open those floodgates, guys, like those floodgates, you know, they're open, you know? So it really is overwhelming for people, but I really started with counseling. And then I was like, okay, spirituality kept being called to me, all of this like other side. And I like almost forgot that I had these gifts because I was starting to seek outwards and I started going to psychics and mediums and not knowing that I was one really, you know, or, you know, remembering that I was one, if that makes sense. But I was going to psychic mediums and I got into energy healing and that's where, and yoga, let me start with that. Got into yoga first. Yoga itself, the movement, the breath, it reminded me of like, oh my God, I can breathe. I'm not with my shoulders by my ears and my, you know, my chest is, I can breathe. Like there's just the reminder to breathe. When I first went to a yoga class, it was like hot yoga or something. And I was like, oh my God, because they're telling you breathe in and out and I'm breathing and I'm sweating. And I felt like I left that fucking class. And I was like, I'm a butterfly. I can, you know, like I can take on the world. I just breathe for the first time in like 27 years or 28 years, whenever that class was. Right. And, it was that. And then I got into energy healing and, I knew that a lot of my stuff, you know, again, doing counseling here and there and then, you know, mixing all these modalities. I did energy healing and I knew like a lot of my stuff, and you know, too, because I think we talked about that or we talked about it, is like the somatic breath work, how trauma is trapped in our body. It's not just talk therapy, because even today, like I can talk to you and yes, I'll cry about it, but it's not getting to like the root, right? It's not getting to like the deepness, not that it's like, what does it solve? Cause it's great to talk about it, but it's not like shifting anything, if that makes sense. It's remembering it. Yes. And feeling it, which is great. But I was like, I need to take it a little bit further. Right. So, and that's what I do now. Side note. So like, I was like, I got to take it further. I didn't know exactly, you know, what that looked like, but I knew energy healing was going to be my first bet. And I started getting energy healing done. And then I eventually got certified in it. Now I'm a Reiki master teacher and I offer trainings to people and I help you learn about the energy, but it's first for myself. So the first level was self-healing. And I remember, you know, doing the self-healing or getting level one certified and then level two, I remember prominently. And it was just that level two is more of like the emotional release. Number one is like the physical release of like your trauma. So you'll go through that. Level two is more the emotional mental. For me, that level was very prominent with me because I had so much emotional trauma and so much of that. And I realized, you know, that there was a lot of releasing that was happening on an energetic level. I continued to do that along with yoga and movement. And, you know, I think that's what I did for a long time. Counseling again, on and off. And then really seeking my own journey. Like I utilized my own journey to help other people where I started going back to counseling again for inner child healing. And then utilizing the tools that I like know, like I want to say psychically or whatever, but I knew what I needed to do for myself, if that makes sense. And that's what I offer for other people. So I know even like today talking about, you know, going back into those wounds, like what I would do for myself, even in like an exercise later, it's like me going back to, and I've done this many times because it's something I have to revisit, but going back to that point in my life when I was seeing my sister dead by suicide and having going in there as the adult self, like the mom I am now, because as you know, mom of five too, you know, like how I would nurture my kids and taking her out of there and being like, you know, you don't, this isn't your responsibility. Like, that's what I feel like, you know, this isn't your responsibility. This isn't yours to carry. And it makes me emotional again, saying it because again, like I felt responsible. It was a long time of like, somehow, you know, just as an empath too, being an empath, like many of us are in this community, I took that on. Like I took on everyone's pain around me. And I, you know, I still do it to some point here, but I know, you know, like how to release and what's mine and what's theirs. But that little girl did not know. She did not know like that it wasn't her fault. And she didn't know that she didn't have to take on, you know, the weight of the world. And that kind of, you know, modality of going back to those places that you were so traumatized and reminding them, you know, and telling them what they needed to hear from the parent they didn't have, from the caretaker they didn't have, just being like, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. Like, that is what transforms you. Inner child healing is, I don't know if it's underrated, but I'm saying it's so important, maybe just for me and my journey, but I know it helps everybody, even if you weren't, you know, had so much trauma, because that validation, you know, that being seen at that age when or whatever age it was, is so transforming. Because a lot of us, no matter what you've been through, do not feel seen, do not feel like we can talk, do not feel like we're heard, you know? So that really is what shifted me, is inner child healing. And that's what I continue to do as I'm doing it right now in this in this session with you. I'm going back there, you know?
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Jolene. And, you know, I think this is a perfect example, right? And I just so appreciate that you're just like diving in and being your authentic self and really sharing, like, as things are coming up for you. Because, you know, if we look at it, like, you went through this like just crazy wild journey in your life, which has been so traumatic and so painful, yet where you're sitting now, even though you're still healing pieces, these are all the things that are now like your gifts. Like, this is the stuff that you can now help other people, because you've literally been in those shoes. You know, exactly. You're not like hypothetically or from some book. You're like, no, I've lived this. I've experienced this. And, you know, for me, that's one of the key things of doing this show is, as you know, you know, there are a lot of different people who do all kinds of healing and all of those things. But at the end of the day, someone's going to come to you because they feel that connection. They're like, oh my God, this person totally gets me. Like, they're going to understand my pain and what I've been through. She's the person I want to connect with, because I feel like I'm going to be able to like make some movement in my journey. And like you said, of course, it always comes back to self. But when we start, we don't have the tools. We don't have the confidence. And so we do need that support from other people who are further along in their journey, and they can help us. And then our own gifts start to open and unlock as we get to heal and also trust ourselves and realize that, wow, you know, I'm important. I'm significant. What I have is important. My story is valuable. I should be seen. I should be heard. And it's all a process, right? But you're literally demonstrating that, right? Like, now from who you were, for me, like, you are like out there, like, you put yourself out there.
I am out there and I'm out there. Both.
You are out there. So I'm so grateful. And, you know, I know it's been like really hard to get a hold of you because you're just so busy and you juggle so much. So I'm so honored that I was able to get you. And I know your time is really valuable. You've got something else going on after this, so I want to be very mindful of my time, but I really appreciate you sharing your story. And I just think you're so incredible and so amazing. And I'm so grateful that I'm connected to you in whatever way that I am, and for all the work that you're doing. And I know that everyone that's tuning in today, you know, can just like be a witness to your story. And I think that alone sometimes is so healing, like just witnessing and seeing someone, because so many of us didn't get that opportunity. And I know that all of your information is going to be in the bio section so that people can find you on all your different platforms, all this amazing work that you're doing, that you do. And I personally want to thank you, because I've seen your journey in just a year from, you know, when we first connected on Instagram and what you're up to now. So I'm just like, just so proud and honored to have you on the podcast today to co-create with me. And I wanted to ask you if you felt inclined at all, if there's anything you wanted to share with the collective as we wrap up the session, whether it's a message, anything that you feel called to.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much again for today. You know, the biggest thing that I hope that I can show people is that no matter, you know, what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what other people say about you, you know, this is, you know, or think about you, you know, this journey comes back to you. And as you, you know, love yourself, and what I mean by that is just showing yourself the love that you always deserve, no matter what you've been through, even the darkest part, the scariest part, just shining love on yourself, love from source, love, if you don't feel like you have it in yourself, shine it from the source that you are, whatever your belief system is, just know that all parts of you deserve love. And as we can really, you know, honor that or just trust that, even blindly trusting that all parts of us deserve love, no matter if we agree with it or not, or shame or not, just shining that unconditional love, that life force love that is available to all of us, that we're all worthy of. That if you can just do that and kind of see yourself almost as even a child, if, especially if you're a mother or a parent, or even as just see yourself as a child, if you just like kids or whatever it is, you know, that you can really transform your life. If you can just truly see yourself for all that you are from a space, from a perspective of love. And as you do that, as you shine that light on you, and as you get to know yourself more and really peel back the layers of your own journey and let everyone else like suck it, you're like, who cares what anyone else thinks? And you just go in, you go deep and you love and you love and you love. Then that is really how you can get to really trust yourself and get to know yourself again and really have this beautiful spiritual experience from a space of not like expecting a certain outcome, just going in and digging deep and just kind of getting excited about this journey. And as you do that, guys, and I say this a lot in my pages, you will develop, you know, you will develop your psychic and healing abilities. You will get to know yourself so much more. And you will just get to this point where you just, you don't care what other people are going to say or think about you. You're just happy to be who you are. And you're just like, whatever. And that's really what it is. You're just like, whatever to life, like bring it, you know, I'm here. And I'm me, and I'm connected to the God that I am, to the source consciousness that I am. And you'll feel that interconnectedness with yourself and the world at large. And then that's how you can really help other people. Just being aware that you're already enough. You've always been enough. That love has always been inside you. That God love, whatever you want to call it, was always yours. Your birthright was always being accepted and being seen and being loved and being nurtured and being, you know, who you are. And just taking it one day at a time is really kind of the message I have for all of you. Is there's no right or wrong in this journey. It's about experience and it's about learning. And please know that Earth is a school. And if you don't do it right, you have a chance to come back. Okay. And there's really no right, you know, there's really no right or wrong. It's all about just experiencing and learning and loving. It's all about love. It all comes back down to love. So that's it. Thank you so much.
I love that. Such a beautiful message. I appreciate that so much. And I just want to thank you again so much, Jolene. It's been a delight to have you and get to learn so much more about your journey. And again, thank you for being so authentic, so transparent, and just for all the work that you do. And thank you to all my beautiful listeners that are tuning into this episode when it comes out. I hope that you receive all the beautiful information and messages. And please make sure to connect with Jolene if you feel that she's a fit with you in terms of what you would like to experience and learn. And just thank you everyone for tuning in. And I'm so grateful. And I can't wait to catch everyone on the next episode.
Yay. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Elevate with V. I'm super grateful for your precious time that you take to listen to these episodes. I hope that there were some valuable insights and tools to map onto your own journey. If you think that this content would be valuable for somebody else that you know, I would greatly appreciate you sharing it. If you have been loving this podcast, I would so appreciate it if you would follow, rate 5 stars, and leave an amazing review on Apple Podcasts, and please follow and rate 5 stars on Spotify. Higher ratings and great reviews allows this content to get out to more people. Let's support each other and elevate together. Thank you again for spending your time listening and tuning in each week. I look forward to catching you on the next episode.